The following is an exclusive presentation of WI Garden Media, the voice of Garden Talk Radio.
Coming up on the program today, we're going to discuss what plants you can put in the garden right away, as well as the plants that you should avoid buying at your local garden center. Our guest is columnist Teresa Forte, and we'll answer your garden questions. The hour is full, so join us.
You are listening to the most informationally packed hour of garden-focused radio in the country and on the internet with your host, husband and wife team Joey and Holly Baird. This is the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Welcome to another program of the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Happy you're taking time out of your day to be part of ours. I'm your host, Joey Baird. Beside me is my wife, co-host, best friend, and gardening partner,
Holly Baird.
This program is for you, about you, to help your garden grow better, to maintain your landscape, grow healthier trees, make your grass look greener, as well as preserving what you grow. If you want to be part of the program, besides listening to it, whether you're listening to us via one of the 20 AM and FM frequencies broadcasting our program here in 2023, a podcast replay, in-studio video replay, however you're doing such, thank you very much. You want to be part of the program outside of that avenue of listening, and we thank you. You can send us an email to gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Or if you're the phone type, give us a call. You can certainly be part of the program there at 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-7469. You can also find the program and past programs at our parent website, which is thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, underneath the Season 7 tab. And we've got all six seasons prior available there in video and podcast form. Well, Holly, let's get in the program and discuss, as we're getting itching closer, now some of the places you are already in the garden, but many of the northern areas are still waiting and have significant snow covering. But what can we plant first as soon as the soil can be worked? We see this on the package on many items.
Well, I just want to let people keep in mind that, you know, you might have had, depending on where you are, you might have had a few days now where it was very springy, and it's what we call like fall spring or fool's spring, depending on where you live. Now, if you live in an area that you know that you could, in the past, get those things into the ground, certain things in the ground at this point, that's fine. But sometimes, like here, beginning of March, sometimes it'll be upwards to 50, 60 degrees, mid-March, whatever, but then...
And when we say right here, we're not going to hide our location. We are broadcasting out of the Milwaukee area, and we have stations...
Wisconsin. Yeah.
We have stations in southern Colorado, all the way to central Missouri, all the way up to Boston, and in the Dakotas. So we are all over the place. So we want to make that aware of that...
So
it's not hidden from you.
Some people will do that. Right. So what I'm saying is that don't let the fool spring or the
look
fall spring
ahead.
Look ahead. But anyway, so
because we've had February days when it's been 80 degrees.
Yeah. Yes.
And then the week later it was 25 and snow.
Right. So
the peas don't like that.
Peas don't like that. No. So just keep in mind, if you know like kind of the trends or whatever, keep that in mind. So peas are good cool weather crop, and we usually have success with them. Some of the stuff you can plant these things in the fall too, but peas seem to be only successful for us in the spring.
Now, with all of these, and there's many more, we don't have time to cover everything, there is a certain, what is called, Holly, a minimal soil temperature that these plants have to be at before they will germinate and they will sustain growth. Just because it's currently 45 degrees in the soil at root zone, tested with a meat thermometer, digital meat thermometer, and it doesn't mean, you know, you look at long range forecast, if the nights and everything are above that, you're good. But if you got a lot of fluctuation, hold off.
Right. So then we also have radishes, and radishes are fun because they only take about 30 days to grow.
Right.
So if you have kids or if yourself, you're impatient, grow some radishes because they don't take long.
If you got a lot of radish seed, just go out there right now where the snow's at and just throw them in the garden, and a good chunk of them will root and take when it's time for them.
Then we have lettuce, and then spinach. So you have some greens, and then same thing with kale and any sort of brassica.
Yeah.
basically, yeah. You do want to make sure that the soil temp is going to stay consistently to about 40 degrees. I mean, obviously you can fudge that a little bit, but 40 degrees is good. And then rutabaga.
Rutabaga and turnips, we find best success in the fall. Around the August time we plant them. Rutabagas take 90 days, turnips take 60 days. We've only had success one time with rutabagas in the spring, and every other year they've gone to seed and bolt, and they like the shorter days, longer nights, and cooler temperatures. And in the spring, it's the opposite of that. You don't get that. You get the shorter nights, longer days, and warmer. So,
right. So, yeah, rutabaga, turnips, and we, like you said, we've had success with those in the fall.
Cilantro is one that people will wants to grow, loves to grow, can't grow because it's a very sensitive crop. Now, what we have found is you can grow it indoors year-round. How? Well, you can go to our parent website and type in the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com and type in cilantro year-round, and you'll find it, but I'll explain it for those who don't want to venture there. You take party cups, and you get a whole bag of cilantro seeds, and you plant very thickly in those red solo cups, and then you succession plant. Every week you start a new cup, and over the course of 4 weeks you've got cilantro that you put in your south facing window that you can use, and you can get, well, we've gotten about two cuttings per round or per cup, and it's a very cheap, effective, efficient way to grow cilantro indoors year round when it can be challenging to grow it outside at any point of the year. And it's a lot cheaper to grow it indoors by getting a bunch of seeds and then going that route than trying to buy the little fregs of or the little spears of cilantro at the store for not cheap.
Absolutely. And so then kale is something that you can definitely start in the spring and grow.
Now, whenever you've told the story last week and several times on the program, Holly, where, and when it was time to plant tomatoes and peppers and eggplants, it was warm, you just walked in the garden, threw your seeds in the ground, you didn't start anything. Was this also, or did you growing up do the brassicas, the Brussels sprouts? You didn't do any of the cool weather crops like we're talking about where you just throw the seed right in the ground?
We did peas.
Okay, which that's a traditional.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we did peas, zucchini, tomatoes. Maybe some carrots,
but nothing that
peppers
in this instance in the brassicas. Like, we start a lot of brassicas indoors and then transplant them out. None of that. You didn't grow brassicas at all.
You got your cabbage from the grocery store.
Okay.
I don't think we ate a lot of cabbage, but, we did the warm weather crops, the traditional summer crops, except for the peas, like I said. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So with all of these, now let's the peas on all what we've listed, the peas are the only thing that really would need a trellis or a structure. Peas are very weak stemmed, and you don't have to go and get some elaborate structure in order for them to grow up. You can take limbs that have fallen out of your tree, stick them in the ground, as long as they have something to support themselves on, they can grow up it. Radishes, and you can intercrop radishes with lettuce, and that will allow the leaf miner to eat the leaves of the radish, and most cases leave the spinach leaves alone. So you're kind of, you're only going to eat the root of the radish, but you want to eat the leaves of the spinach. So that if you do that and you have problems with leaf miners, which is a insect that incorporates itself into the leaf, the layers of the leaf, and eats kind of tunnels, and then you've got a green leaf with a bunch of brown or gray lines, which is not very appetizing in that instant. So you can do that. Now, we soak pea seeds, but if you're looking at spinach, radishes, lettuces, those seeds are so tiny that when you soak them, it's just you're fighting a losing battle. They're so tiny.
One thing I want to mention is a lot of people get confused about peas because they want like the really sweet peas. Uh-huh. So if it says sweet pea on the package somewhere, that means you're going to get that sweet pea. Not that the other peas aren't going to be sweet. They're just not going to be as sweet. So that's something to keep in mind. A snow pea, I believe, is just like a regular pea. But if it says sweet, sugar, something like that, that's the type of pea that is guaranteed to be that sweet pea.
Right. There's three different types of peas, each suited for different types of eating things. There's snap peas, snow peas, and shelling peas. So, and then now, for the fun of that, instead of just having green pod peas, there's purple pod peas, and there's golden pod peas or a yellow pod pea in there. But yeah, you're eating peas, your snap peas, your snow peas, your shelling peas. And the shelling peas, you may think, oh, I'll just eat the shell of it. It's awful tough.
Yeah. I have a question.
Yeah.
Or maybe a question that we might get is that, you know, how lettuce and spinach and radishes, pretty much all these, except for kale, they will bolt, they will put on their sprouts to seed to
correct
reproduce, essentially.
Right.
Say that you don't have enough time to necessarily, because that usually happens around the summer.
Equinox.
Not the equinox, the summer solstice.
Yeah, solstice, yeah.
Yeah. So say you don't think you have enough time to get them to grow and produce in that time. Maybe you've had a late spring where it was very, like you weren't able to get them in too cold. What would you recommend?
For the peas, go ahead and put them in the ground as soon as you can. They'll be fine. They'll fight. They'll tolerate it. Radishes, 30 days. You're not going to have an issue with that. Lettuce, spinach, both take about 45 to 60 days. If you are in that jam, you can use Rootmaker grow bags and start them now if you can outside. And on the really cold nights, bring them inside so you have something there. To do, but these are all very hardy plants, and they're just not hardy to 25 or 20 or -4. So, does that answer your question to some degree?
I mean, yeah, I know the answer. I was asking
okay.
as a general yeah. question because some people might not
containers,
know.
Containers. Right. If you really are concerned that you're not, and or plant them in a partial shade area of the garden to trick them to think the days are shorter than what they truly are.
That's smart, too.
Well, we don't want to trick you at all by just letting you buy and prepare your food without giving you the option of getting the best that you can. And Walton's Incorporated has that.
Yeah, absolutely. We are brought to you today by our sponsor, Walton's Inc. We know you care about where your food comes from. Canning and preserving your fruits and vegetables is great. But what about the meat? At Walton's, you can get all the equipment, seasoning, and supplies to make sausage, jerky, any other meat product your way to your high standards. You can go to meatgistics.com to help educate yourself on the hows and whys of why meat processing, as well as a community of almost 15,000 users who will help give their opinion and guidance on meat processing issues. If you go to waltonsinc.com, you can find everything from grinders to spices, sausage stuffers, mixers, etc. to go from animal to edible. Walton's is everything but the meat. You can use code GROW50 to save 10% off orders of $50 or more.
And they had those digital thermometers so you can test the soil. They wanted you to use it for meat, but you can use it for soil.
Dual purpose.
When we come back, hang out with us. We're going to discuss several things that you want to be aware of before you start buying plants at your local garden center, things that you may not have thought of. You're tuned into the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Have a garden question? Give Joey and Holly a call now or anytime 24/7. Just dial 1-800-927-SHOW. If you can't get through, leave a message and they will call you back. Call now 1-800-927-SHOW.
Grip6 produces American-made products with sleek designs and quality materials. Based and manufactured in Utah, they have high-quality and durable products to last a lifetime. They are built beyond tough. Their wool socks come from Rocky Mountain source materials, are soft and comfortable, keep your feet warm and dry, and come with a lifetime guarantee. Even for the most sensitive toes, these socks are made for everyone. High-quality wool socks make a huge difference for happy feet. They fit in with all the many things you do, from around the house to the outdoors and beyond. They are comfortable and long-lasting. We wear ours daily and have become our go-to socks. We are glad we made the switch, and they are incomparable to any other socks we have worn. Designed and manufactured in-house for the best results and quality every time. When you purchase from Grip6, you're supporting long life cycle products and American-made manufacturing. Check out their belts, wallets, and socks at grip6.com and use coupon code RADIO15 to save 15% off your order at grip6.com.
RootMaker starts your plants off right and keeps them going through harvest. From their seed-starting trays with an innovative design that air-prunes the roots to their large variety of grow bags, 1 to 60 gallons, their products will provide you the harvest you've never seen before. Visit RootMaker.com and use coupon code RADIO23 to save 15% off your order at RootMaker.com.
Dig planting holes from a comfortable standing position. Step, twist, pull, and plant. Visit ProPlugger.com.
Ah, spring, the season of renewal, an unexpected house guest, none the worse perhaps than ants. And I'm not talking about great Aunt Mabel. When you need to get rid of ants fast, you need Rescue Ant Baits. Rescue Ant Baits are pre-baited, child-resistant, and ready to use right out of the box. No sticky liquid, no mess. Made in the USA by the makers of the popular Rescue Fly and Yellow Jacket traps. Learn more at rescue.com. That's RESCUE.com.
Pomona's Universal Pectin is a high-quality pectin that gels reliably with low amounts of any sweetener. If you're trying to reduce the amount of sugar in your diet, you'll love Pomona's Universal Pectin. Now you can make healthy homemade jams and jellies sweetened to your taste. You can use sugar or honey to sweeten. Pomona's Universal Pectin keeps indefinitely when stored in an airtight container. Easy to use, versatile, and comes with directions and recipes in every box. Find out more and where to buy at PomonaPectin.com. Also available at natural food stores and online.
Jung Seed Company is a family-owned and operated gardening company since 1907, with the largest selection of seeds and plants online. Use coupon code 10TG23 to receive 10% off your order at JungSeeds.com. Again, that coupon code is 10TG23.
Make watering easy. DripWorks provides quality drip irrigation supplies and equipment to gardeners just like you for all your growing needs across the U.S. and Canada. Purchase online at DripWorks.com.
The Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Happy Leaf LED, Root Maker, Jung Seeds, Tree Hugger Sprinklers, Verlo Mattresses, Farmers Defense, Pomona Universal Pectin, Natural Green Products, Mantis Tillers. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Thank you for being with us today. Farmers Defense has what you need to make your farm or garden more accessible and easier on you, your body, and your mind.
Yeah, farm and garden in the ultimate comfort. Farmers Defense has lightweight and durable sleeves made to protect you against the elements while farming, gardening, etc. Farmers Sleeves offers unparalleled protection of arms and skin for any farmer, gardener, outdoor worker, harvester, etc. Say goodbye to irritated skin and sunburns in the garden. Their sleeves offer cooling comfort and protection against the elements outdoors. An alternative to thick clothing, Farmers Defense is made of wicking material with UBF protection, factor of 50 plus to protect you from the allergens and scratches. To find all of their great products and more, visit farmersdefense.com.
Whenever you go to the garden center here, whether you've been there now or you're on going to make a trip there to get the plants that you intend to plant in your garden, some of them, maybe all of them, there are some things in which you need to be aware of before you start grabbing plants because they're pretty and put them in your cart. We're going to talk about vegetables and flowers, for that matter, and perennials. So, Holly, the first thing you do not want to do at a garden center, and we've all done this, including us, is buy those sad or discounted plants because you think you're a plant magic whisperer.
Right.
92% off. It's 3 cents, and it's not, no.
No, it might live, but it might not. So, yeah.
It's not worth the effort.
I just would not, and when we say sad plants, we mean like you're trying to be Captain Save the Plant.
It's June 15th, the tomatoes, it's 2 foot in a container, and yeah. 2 foot in a two inch container, and it's gotten berries on it.
Right. So, yeah, that's one thing is that we also suggest is not to buy plants that have vegetables on them already. So, like,
Do you know why the plant has vegetables?
It's stressed.
It's stressed. Yes. It's going, I'm going to die, I need to reproduce, end of story.
Yeah, and you'll see these, and I worked for a company that stocked garden centers
many years ago,
and
now you can say that with like telling stories many years ago.
And my manager of the of the stocking company was like, I worked for the flowers, but then the vegetable people would come and stock, and she would call them the point of purchase plants, because people would get excited. They would see that the tomatoes,
the money beet,
yeah, the money so beet basically plants, the money yeah. beets, they would see the tomatoes on the plants and they would be like, oh, I'm going to buy this because it's definitely going to produce all the tomatoes. And basically these retailers, like, not that they don't care, but they know that people are going to buy them. Now, just like they would buy these forced sunflowers that wouldn't last for.
Now these are not. This is the three or four inch pots that's got like your transplant. This is not the 3 or 4 gallon pot that's got the cage around it, that the tomatoes are in full size and are blooming and got fruit on. That's different. You're paying $40 for that. Don't do that either. But that's another topic for another day.
It's just like, you know, Mother's Day was the biggest weekend.
Yeah.
And people would come and buy those hanging baskets, mm-hmm. and they would. I swear they would mark them up and then put them on sale.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's not just plants. That's all.
Don't buy
companies.
Right. Well, just if you're going to buy a hanging basket, I would wait until the week after Mother's Day.
Well, the big box stores, they'll jack prices up and then put them on sale, so it seems like you're getting a good deal.
Right.
Disease plants. Now, how do you tell if a plant is diseased? Well,
you would look at the leaves.
Leaf discoloration of leaves.
Yeah.
Under the leaves, pick the plant up. You're buying this baby. You need to examine it. Pick it up. Look at under the leaves, because that's where the bugs like to hide, the aphids. If you're looking at a fruit tree, you're looking at potentially scale. So you want to look around the leaves. Are the leaves sticky? Are they in a position where that they shouldn't? They're doing something, or they look in a way that they shouldn't look compared to what they're supposed to look like, or the other plants around it. So you keep that. Or if you see bugs or things flying around, now that doesn't mean. Having a few insects flying around is not a detriment to the garden center or to the potential purchase of the plants in which you're buying. That simply means that that garden center is conscious of the environment, and they're not soaking the plants down with harmful chemicals to eradicate anything and everything. They understand that there is a little bit of a balance, and a few bad bugs is okay because you got a few good bugs. It's whenever the plants are infestated with bad bugs, that's when you have the problem.
Right.
And
that's what you want to keep in mind, is that if one leaf is yellow, that's okay.
That's common.
It's when you see a whole bunch of leaves, and then you look underneath, and then it's swarming with bugs. I doubt it's swarming, but you see
things
some
are
bugs,
crawling around in the soil.
And then even if you say, okay, so say you get past that,
yeah.
And then you're like, is this plant okay? And then maybe you take it out of the pot a little bit, and you see that the roots are mushy or
soggy.
Yeah, you don't want that. You want to keep in mind that.
And when people, it's okay to do that. It's okay to gently caress the plant and remove it from the canister, the container that it is in, so you can see what the roots are doing. Because it's easier to say, hey, not going to buy that, than take it home and pay your money and then go, oh, I got a bad plant.
Now, do keep in mind that say you do buy a plant and it doesn't work out for you. Not that you don't have space or something. You should definitely be mindful about how much you're buying. But like, for example, we returned, what was that, asparagus?
Was an independent garden center. This was, I can tell the story, many years ago.
It was like 3 years ago.
No, yeah, something like that. We had bought 10 asparagus plants, the crowns. And we had planted them because we know what we're doing. And we did a whole thing and nothing grew. A month went and came and nothing happened. So I started digging them up. Out of the 10, three of them had actually started to sprout. Whenever you got, you know, you still had to dig down quite a bit. So we dug them all up. Holly called that garden center and they're like, oh, just give it more time. Well, we don't like to use this card, but there's times in life where we have to use, we all have to use a certain, you know, card in order to explain who we are. And Holly said, the person there said, well, you probably don't know what you're doing, something to that nature. And you said to them, I have a National Garden Talk radio show. I know how to plant asparagus. Instantly, the person on the phone said, okay, we'll bag them up, bring them in. We'll give you a refund for them.
I don't know, like, if it's because they thought that we were dumb and not experts.
Or and then supposedly they didn't take returns or something.
They didn't want bad press. Like, we were going to talk a bunch of you know, whatever about them.
But we don't like using that card. I mean, we know what we're doing, but we don't want to have to gloat that and go, hey, we're this. You need to, but that's what we had to do. And we've all had to do that in certain aspects of life anyway.
Right. So another thing you want to avoid at the garden center is anything that is you can direct sow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is big in the last 5 years.
Yes, this is big. You'll see carrot starts. You'll see
Corn, green beans, cantaloupe, watermelon, whatever.
Didn't we start corn and then transplant?
We tried. It's just easier to start it in the ground. We tried it to attempt to see what
would
happen.
That's right.
But you see corn starts. You see watermelon, cantaloupe, squashes, and then radishes and carrots. Radishes take 30 days. Carrots take 60 days. You don't transplant those things. You disturb the roots. Beets, okay, you could do that, but it's easier just to put it in the ground. But these garden centers purchase these seedlings from a manufacturer because they know they will sell because of, quote unquote, the convenient factor. So you go and buy a cup full of green beans. And typically by the time you get to the garden center, the green beans are not in good shape to begin with. And there's 4 or 5 in a 4-inch pot. And you get them home and you try to transplant them and tear the roots apart in order to get them. And out of the 5, you get about a half of one to grow. And you've paid $4 or $5 for this canister, and you get frustrated, and you're like, I'm not doing this anymore because I killed plants.
Right.
And you didn't kill plants. You were set up to kill the plant.
Pretty much. It's not your fault. Now, if you somehow come upon this and you know that you shouldn't buy these plants and you do it, then that's on you. But now that we've told you, you know better. Another one is that dehydrated plants. What I mean is that you go, this plant looks okay, but the soil is drier than the desert, and you kind of question when the last time it was watered. I mean, it would probably be okay, but then once you water it, it could possibly go into a shock.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
a good garden center will keep plants hydrated all the time.
Right. So, but a lot of people do buy plants off of corner plant stands, etc.
Know the source.
You want to think about that. Think about where that plant is coming from, and also definitely look for any sort of signs.
And that's why we say go to an independent garden center, because the independent garden centers in our area, they know what they're talking about. And if they don't know the question, they know to go to the next person in line, because there is 4 or 5 or 8 people on staff, and they have the overall knowledge that one of them is able to come up with that answer for that question that you have. And a good independent garden center, we're not talking about the big box stores, we're talking about mom and pop garden centers, which are hard to find in some places. They're not going to sell you a plant so they feel good about getting your $10 or $15 or $20. They are more keen on making sure you get the right plant or no plant than purchasing the wrong plant and getting your money and saying, ho, good luck, we got your money, because those people don't last too long.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, is just keep in mind that those local independent garden centers are important to keep around, because they do keep the economy going. They employ people who know what they're talking about.
They might be a slight bit higher than the back box store, but you're paying for that knowledge.
Like, they're not bringing Jim Bob over from paint to come sell you some carrot seeds.
Yeah, because he knows at 5 o'clock he's out whether you buy the carrot seeds or not, and he could care less whether you buy the carrot seeds or not, or she or whomever it is.
And then come, you know, after growing season, they're going to go back to the paint.
But that's why the independent garden center might be slightly higher, but you get the you get the knowledge, you get the respect, you get treated like an actual person, not a number.
Absolutely.
Well, Holly, talking about numbers, coming this spring here, we're going to have a lot of, if you don't take care of it now, a lot of problems with your garden and your lawn because of those Japanese beetles.
Right. So with spring just around the corner, it's time to start thinking about controlling beetles and grubs in your garden and yard.
Not a grub gone can be applied directly to the turf or around ornamentals to control the grubs and lessen the impact that the beetles have on your lawn. This summer, easy to apply from a commercial spreader or irrigate right in the soil. It is biologically specifically targeted to grubs and beetle invaders without harming those beneficial insects like bees, butterflies, and ladybugs. And the best part, Holly, about this is it's a non-chemical. It's non-chemical. That it works. For more information, go to phylumbioproducts.com. That's
phylum bioproducts.com.
And use Garden Talk 10 as a coupon code to save 10% off your order at phylumbioproducts.com. Well, when we come back, Holly, columnist Teresa Forte will be with us. You're tuned in to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
Mantis tillers, the premium long-lasting gas-powered tillers, are the perfect solution for any garden. This Mantis machine is available with 2 or 4 cycle engines with a 19-inch or 16-inch tilling width. Your DIY companion in your garden and your lawn converts easily for edging, aerating, and more with optional attachments. Find details at mantis.com. Aqua-mart.com has everything you need for eye-pleasing outdoor water features on your property. For over 25 years, we've been creating and field testing beautiful water features in order to provide you with the most reliable products and best value in the industry. From easy to install pond and water fill kits to pumps, fish food, and more, you'll find everything you need to install and maintain a naturally balanced water feature in your yard. Make your backyard a true oasis and maintain it well. Visit aqua-mart.com to shop for all your needs.
We know that you appreciate the value of a beautifully landscaped yard, but tackling such a project yourself can seem way too complicated, right? Bloomin' Easy Plants are the answer. Their plants are low maintenance and offer exceptional beauty and color for your yard. Plus, they offer free seasonal care reminders with simple how-to videos tailored to the plants that you choose. With Bloomin' Easy on your side, creating the yard that you've always wanted becomes as easy as plant, water, and relax. Check them out at your local garden center or by visiting BloominEasyPlants.com. Worried about watering too much or too little? Tree diaper technology is the best way to stabilize your soil moisture in your garden, trees, or houseplants. Use coupon code GARDEN15 to save 15% off at TreeDiaper.com. Chapin has the tools for planting your garden and keeping it growing all season long. Whether your garden is big or small, Chapin has sprayers and spreaders for fertilizing, weed and pest control, watering and seeding. You can find Chapin products at your local hardware store, big box retailer. You may visit them also online at ChapinMFG.com to learn more and buy online.
Listen, at Furlough Mattress, saving a lot on a comfortable mattress with a lifetime comfort guarantee is easy. Why? Well, because we make our mattresses right at the store. Yeah, we cut out the middleman, and voila, you got it. We pass the savings directly on to you every day. So hurry in today to your local Furlough, where there are no middleman markups. Wake up, sleep better, and save at Furlough.
Head into Fleet Farm, where you'll find everything you need. From tires to tree stands, drills to dog food, toys to tools, they've got it all. You can save even more at Fleet Farm when you join the Fleet Rewards loyalty program. You get exclusive offers, and it's free to sign up. Get everything you need at a low fleet price. Shop in store or online today at Fleet Farm.
Happy Leaf LED grow lights are USA made in small batches for outstanding performance and long run cost effectiveness. 5-year warranty and VIP customer service. Grow happy at HappyLeafLED.com. Use coupon code JoeyHolly to get 10% off any order over $90 at HappyLeafLED.com. The Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Dripworks, Rise Gardens, Grip Six, Bloomin' Easy, Fleet Farm, Walton's Incorporated, Blue Ribbon Organics, Tree Diaper. Find all sponsors at the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Moments away, columnist Teresa Forte. But first, Rise Gardens has the technology to help you grow more and easier and more effective.
Rise Gardens is a revolutionary hydroponic gardening system for your home. Instead of food traveling hundreds or even over 1,000 miles before it hits your plate, harvest veggies, herbs, and greens you need for dinner tonight in the comfort of your home. No green thumb required knowledge. Gardening made easy with Rise Gardens app. Step-by-step guidance from seed to harvest. A complete garden on a shelf and comes with everything you need to grow healthy and the freshest food for you and your loved ones. Fully customize your garden to your needs and preferences. For more information to get your Rise Garden, visit risegardens.com.
Well, Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Teresa Forte is an award-winning writer, photographer, and speaker. She is a garden columnist, photographer, and speaker with a passion for gardens that reflect the changing seasons with grace. Her illustrated column, Your Gardens, now in its 24th year, appears in the Saturday edition of St. Catherine Standard, Niagara Falls Review, and Welland Tribune newspapers, and the Monday edition of the Hamilton Spectator. Welcome to the program, Teresa.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, thank you for taking time and not only educating Holly and myself, but all of our listeners.
So,
my pleasure.
Definitely. So Rebecca was chosen for this year's Perennial of the Year by the National Garden Bureau. Why do you like growing them? Why should others? And do you have any tips on growing them or helpful hints?
Okay. They are just one of my very favorite flowers. I love the colors, and they come in a wide range of colors, lots of yellows, but also some oranges and wine kind of colors. They're easy to grow. They're very showy in the garden. There's some interesting new forms as well. They have a long bloom period, and the perennial types in particular are attractive to birds, which come back and enjoy the seed heads. I leave the dried seed heads in the garden. When they're in bloom, they're attractive to pollinators like butterflies and bees. Let me see what else. They can be divided in the spring or the fall. Some of the Rudbeckia are even the more annual type can tend to be perennial, and you can even divide those if they're happily placed. They want to be grown in full sun and well-drained soil. And other than that, they're pretty flexible, I find. That's what I like about them anyway. And there's lots of different types to try. You can grow the seed-grown varieties, and they'll bloom the first year from seed, which a lot of plants won't do that for you. So,
And the perennial ones, I think, aren't they zone 3 to 7? So they've got a quite large range in which
they're so hardy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They're very hardy. And it's surprising in my garden, we're in Niagara Falls. I'm located in Niagara Falls, Ontario. And, you know, it's relatively mild here. But, you know, we have some really wet winters, and the seed-grown Rudbeckia don't always come back for me. And other years, they come back on their own. And you know, I get some interesting mixes of colors that way even. So,
absolutely.
Highly recommended. Great cut flower as well for bringing inside. They last a long time in the vase.
Well, you talked about birds. People seem to think birds can be harmful to their garden, and maybe in some instances they can. But how can birds be beneficial in the garden, and how can we live in harmony with them to have a garden and get the benefit of what birds can bring to it?
Oh, absolutely. For me, I worked for years to try and attract some birds to our little patch of the world here. It was very bare and open with no trees. And it was, you know, it felt lifeless to me without birds. We started introducing a lot of trees and shrubs. And now more and more I've been adding, when possible, native varieties. So some of the benefits of birds, you know, to me are the song and the color. And it's so interesting to watch their life cycles and their antics as well. This summer we have a little water feature that's made from a wine press, and it's got a spout on the front of it. And the birds decided that they were going to try and learn how to drink and bathe in this little, you know, it's only a few inches wide. And, you know, it was a lot of fun to watch who was brave enough to actually venture into that water. And several of the finches, you know, were the first ones. And just interesting. The other thing, birds eat a lot of bugs that is a benefit. I know they can, you know, eat all your grapes and other like that on you, but they also eat a lot of bugs. A single pair of breeding chickadees need 6,000 to 9,000 caterpillars in a year just to rear one clutch of young. And that's Doug Tallamy's quote. And I think it's fascinating. If you basically watch the birds, you don't need to have feeders out all the time. You can let them eat all the bugs around your yard, and that's definitely helpful.
Yeah, there's just, and you see birds, if the habitat is correctly, you see birds that you didn't even know, I mean, existed. If you're not a birdologist, you know, you don't study birds,
yeah,
just the color,
right,
and how they interact with each other.
Exactly. It's a lot of fun to watch. There's a little bit of drama. We've had some issues of nests being raided because we've got a lot of trees around the property now. And so, you know, we get a lot of birds in the springtime and a lot of action. Right now we've got a red-tailed hawk that's kind of hovering around the yard. And, you know, the birds are coming to the feeder, and then you won't see any birds for 2 or 3 days because, you know, the hawk's around. So, you know, something to keep you busy when the season's off as well, you know, and you can't really get outside just yet.
Right.
Most definitely. So many people may want to grow bulbs but don't have ground to grow in. How can people grow them in their windowsill in their home?
Well, that was a project that I handled this year. I tried, and I've tried to grow bulbs, you know, and get them forced indoors quite a few times and not had very good luck. And so this past year, what I did was I bought bulbs in the fall. You buy them at the same time as the people are going to buy them to put them in their gardens. And you can either refrigerate them. They need a period of cold to come out of dormancy and bloom. So you can either refrigerate them if you have a spare beer fridge, and you can put them in a drawer or something like that and leave them for 8 weeks. Or plant them up in pots, which is what I did. And then wrap the pots in newspaper and bubble wrap and label them. And I put them out in my garage, an unheated garage, up against the wall of the house. So it's a little bit of warmth, and brought them in after 8 weeks. And they bloomed within 2 weeks of coming into the house. So it was really a rewarding project. I used lots of little sticks. I cut some twigs out in the garden. And, you know, you can get sticks around even if you don't have a property. But to kind of hold the make sure that the foliage stayed up nice and tall, because when you plant them in a pot, you plant them very close together, and basically shoulder to shoulder, they call it. So you know, a whole bag of bulbs in one pot, and that way you get a really nice show when they do come into flower.
Now, whenever
I think it's a good project.
Whenever you're doing this, is this a one and done, or is there ways to save those bulbs for the next season?
You know, I'm going to say if you don't have somewhere else to grow them, you know, I'll be able to put them. Like I put mine have just finished blooming that I brought in the first week of February. And I brought them out. I've got a little unheated greenhouse and I've put them out there. And I'll probably, you know, just let them die back and then heal them into the garden, not in the very front of my front garden or something like that, but in the back and see what comes up. Things like potted daffodils and especially those little miniature ones, those are really good to, you know, just buy them. You can get them at the grocery store or from your florist and have those indoors on the windowsill if you haven't started any already. And then they can go out in the garden. But to get them to rebloom in the pot is pretty challenging, actually, because you have to be able to let the foliage die back naturally and feed the bulb, which, you know, in the outdoor garden, that takes until about early June by the time the foliage has really died back. And that's giving all the nutrition into that bulb. So I would say buy them, enjoy them, and get rid of them if you don't have a, you know, an outdoor garden to keep them in.
Right. What are some new plants that people are growing, what that are becoming more popular? What are you seeing on your end there?
You know, I'm finding a lot of the old plants, you know, people that, especially younger people that haven't been gardening, they like to see some of, you know, the old favorites that they remember, and maybe newer varieties of those that might be a little more in scale with today's modern properties, you know, like some lilacs or even some roses, things like that. I'm finding there's a revival with dahlias and zinnias, some, you know, like the giants of California. It's like a florist quality zinnia. And they're beautiful to cut and bring in the house and enjoy. And so I'm finding a lot more people are growing both of those, the dahlias as well. The dahlias, of course, you can save the tubers. So it's a little more economical. Zinnias, you can just grow those from seed, really. They're hard to find, the big florist style at the garden centers. And then houseplants, especially with the younger people. And we have a young couple next door to us who are not gardeners by any stretch. And I've kind of shared a lot of plants out of my own perennial gardens to get them going in their front yard. And last spring, the young fellow next door, they've got two little youngsters, about 8 years old, that kind of age. And the young fellow came out last spring and said, "My mother's caught your disease." So I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Well, she has so many plants in the house now." So I thought, well, that's pretty good.
That's a good disease to catch.
So I'm finding a lot of young people. Yeah, it's a good disease to catch, exactly. So, you know. She hasn't spread out all the way out to the sidewalk with the garden yet, but, you know, they're enjoying it. And the kids were growing some sunflowers in the front yard. And, you know, it's nice to see them enjoying it a little bit.
Well, that's
I've got one more. Yeah. I do have one here I wrote down. Last year I grew a tomato called Midnight Snack Tomato, and it's just got the greatest name. It's a grape cluster style tomato, and they're black. And we had about 60 or 70 people come through here when I had an open garden, and everybody wanted to know what those tomatoes were. They just thought they were so much fun. And that's something I think, you know, some of these tomatoes, not a new plant, but, you know, kind of with a bit of a gimmick like that or a little catch, you know, that you're going to remember. People right. enjoy right. that, I think.
Well, we really enjoyed having you on the program, Teresa. How can people, just remind our listeners, how can people find out more about you and your great columns?
Okay, so my column is available online. If they Google either my name or go onto the website for the St. Catherine Standard or the Niagara Falls Review or the Welland Tribune, any one of those, would have a archive of the columns. They go back many years. It's 24 years now, so there's lots of columns online. I'm on Facebook just with my name, and I do post the columns every week on Facebook as well. And then they could email me if they're interested. And my email is forte, F-O-R-T-E, gardens, G-A-R-D-E-N-S, @gmail.com. So that is on all the ends of the columns anyway. So,
well, Teresa, we thank you for the information that you've shared with us. You've taught us some things, and we've learned some things, and as well as our listeners, and we thank you for that.
Oh, my pleasure. Is it still snowing there? How's your weather?
We're getting close to spring here. We're weeks away.
Yeah, I know. Counting the days.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Okay, take care.
And when we come back, it's time for your garden questions, our garden answers. You're tuned in to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show.
Give Joey and Holly a call now or anytime 24/7. Just dial 1-800-927-SHOW. If you can't get through, leave a message and they will call you back. Call now 1-800-927-SHOW.
Tree Hugger sprinklers are the ultimate watering device for either your newly planted or established trees and shrubs. Our sprinklers open and close around the trunk of your tree and provide 360 degrees of watering. With our adjustable valve, you can direct the water to your tree's targeted saturation zone. They come in three sizes, 7, 11, and 15 inches. You can purchase a Tree Hugger sprinkler at your local garden center, feed store, or hardware store. Go to treehuggersprinklers.com to find a retailer close to you. Or you can buy it directly from Amazon or treehuggersprinklers.com. If you're an independent independent nursery, garden center, hardware store, or feed store, you will want to stock this product. Contact the good people at Tree Hugger Sprinklers, and they will get you set up. Your tree's best friend. TreeHuggerSprinklers.com. Blue Ribbon Organics, providing locally made organic compost and soil blends for gardeners, farms, landscaping, and more. To find our products nearest you, visit BlueRibbonOrganics.com.
Goodbye biting bugs and plant invaders. No More Bugs by Naturally Green Products is your answer. A product pioneered by the USDA in 14 years in business, No More Bugs has been a favorite by consumers across the country. More than a repellent, it is safe for you, your plants, pets, and home. Visit nomorebugs.net. Free shipping on orders over $50. Use code FREESHIP4ME. Garden like a pro in 3 easy steps and receive customized fertilizer recommendations for your garden or lawn. Soil Savvy helps you determine what nutrients your plants need to thrive. Never again overapply nutrients they don't need. A patented process that makes you a smart gardener. To get your soil test kit, go to mysoilsavvy.com. Wind River Chimes creates a symphony in any space. Chimes that are inspired by nature and designed to make the natural world even more inspiring. Music speaks to everyone. Individually handcrafted in Virginia for over 35 years and hand-tuned for an exceptional precision and lasting beauty. Because in life, the winds of change are always moving. But no matter where they carry you, Wind River Chimes will always be the inspiring harmony. With a large selection and customization options, you will find the sound that soothes you. Visit windriverchimes.com to shop and find out more.
Ah, spring, the season of renewal, an unexpected house guest, none the worse, perhaps, than ants. And I'm not talking about great Aunt Mabel. When you need to get rid of ants fast, you need Rescue Ant Baits. Rescue Ant Baits are pre-baited, child-resistant, and ready to use right out of the box. No sticky liquid, no mess. Made in the USA by the makers of the popular Rescue Fly and Yellow Jacket traps. Learn more at rescue.com. That's RESCUE.COM. The Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Chapin Manufacturing Incorporated, Aqua-Mart, Soil Savvy, Wind River Chimes, Wisconsin Greenhouse Company, Pro Plugger, Deer Defeat, Dripping Springs Oyas, Phylum Bioproducts. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Garden with Joy and Holly radio show. Time for your questions, our answers. Thank you for being part of the program today. If you've got a question, we probably can get you an answer that will work for you. That is the correct answer. You want to do that, you can give us a call at 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-7469. Or you can give us send us an email to gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com. We'll see what we can get through to the top of the hour, Holly. This question is sponsored by Fleet Farm and FleetFarm.com. When do you turn on your indoor lights, your grow lights, after the seed is germinated? Before? I've read different things, and what is your thoughts?
So if the seeds haven't germinated, like if they haven't poked through the soil, you don't need the grow lights on. So once they sprout, then you want to turn the grow lights on. Obviously, if you've started some seeds, they've sprouted, and then you start more seeds, you want to leave the grow lights on as that goes in succession. But yeah, you don't have to turn them on. As soon as you plant the seed, you don't need to turn them on. Once you see them poking through the soil, that's when you do.
Right. There are some seeds that require a certain amount of light in order to germinate, but unless you're starting seeds in a cave, you're probably going to have some ambient light, which would be enough light that would be needed for those seeds to germinate, and then you can turn on your grow light. Happy Leaf LED grow light is what we would prefer. Works much better than tube lights, but then you're good to go on that. Well, Holly, let's go to the hotline. We had a question from Frank that he called in, has some questions, and he called 1-800-927-SHOW. Let's see what he's got to ask.
Good morning. My name is Frank from Joliet, Illinois, on WJOL 1340 AM. Just heard about your show. First time I listened to it. Pretty interesting. And I have issues with tomatoes in the summer when they turn red. We have the tribe of squirrels that love to come by and eat them up or just chew holes in them and leave. So I put chicken wire around them once they get red, and then they get all scratched up trying to get in there. and I was using coffee grounds on potted plants to keep squirrels away. Also, now we have deer that come up from the lowland, and they pull the plants right out of the ground when the tomatoes are still green, and I'm really getting bent out of shape over both of these situations, and I don't know if there's a situation or what I can put on them or detour them, but I'll be listening to the show now weekly that I know it's on. Thanks for your knowledge.
Well, we thank you, Frank, for calling in. That's a new station we've picked up, WJOL 1340 out of Joliet. Hello to all of you down there. And we can help you, Frank. We've got a couple of solutions to your problem. One for the deer. You can use Deer Defeat at deerdefeat.com. You can use code radio to save 10% off your order. It's an all-natural deer and rabbit and groundhog application. It's all natural. You spray it on. You don't smell it after 30 minutes, but the animals can smell it for up to 30 days after rain, snow, sleet, freeze. It's still there. You will have to reapply it after a certain amount of time, but we've got listeners that swear by this and they use it time and time again, and they have a garden that you can, it's picture perfect. Now, for the squirrels, Holly, many people may say firearms would be the answer, but some people choose not to do that. So there are other ways in which to keep them or deter them from getting in the garden.
Right. So you can dilute cayenne pepper, hot pepper, spicy pepper in some water and vinegar, I believe. And then you would spray that on the plants, all around the plants. You can spray it on the plants, all around the plants, et cetera, because it's not going to harm the plants itself. If you do get some on the tomatoes, you want to make sure you rinse those off well before you, say you have green tomatoes, not ripe tomatoes, then you want to rinse those off before you consume them, because otherwise it could be a spicy surprise. Otherwise, another thing that could be helpful is sometimes those squirrels, little pests are looking for water source, and that's why they eat the tomatoes. So you could give them a water source in a different part of the yard.
Yeah, there's a number of different applications to apply in different types of levels of chili powder, hot spicy stuff, because the squirrels they can pick up that capillary. They have that sensory, and they don't like that heat. That's why in cases of them getting in your bird feeder, you would mix bird feed or bird seed with cayenne pepper, because the birds cannot taste that heat. The squirrels can, and they'll go to your neighbor's bird feeder and eat their bird feed instead of yours. So we hope that will help you, and best of luck to you with that those situations, and they'll get better.
All right, so next question is, I've seen people use grass clippings when putting filler in for your raised beds. How do you do that without the grass growing?
Well, filler for a raised bed, that takes a lot of grass clippings, and grass clippings would break down very quickly, so the filler would dissipate and turn into compost much more rapidly than if you were using sticks, twigs, or logs. You would want to use seed-free grass clippings and chemical-free grass clippings. If you have a lawn that has been sprayed with a weed and feed, that will contain a chemical called 2,4-D, which is a broadleaf spray that kills the broadleaves, the dandelions, the lamb's quarters, anything but grass. We used it on the farm for thistles in the pastures. So you would want to avoid using those grass clippings, because the grass clippings absorb that 2,4-D and transfer it into the garden, even in a compostable state. Black compost looks great. It still has that potency in it, and it will kill any of your broadleaf or greatly deform your broadleaf plants, your eggplants, your potatoes, your tomatoes, your et cetera, et cetera. So I would use logs, twigs, sticks rather than grass clippings. Now, if you've got chemical-free, seed-free grass clippings, that would make a very good mulch, but I wouldn't use it as a filler for a raised bed.
No, it would break down way too quickly, and that's not the best idea. I agree with using it as a mulch alternatively. All right, so next question is, I want to plant cucumbers by seed. I was told I need to soak the seeds first. I've never heard of this. Any helpful information is appreciated. So I've never heard of anybody soaking cucumbers. I've heard of people soaking all sorts of seeds.
Right.
Not cucumber seeds specifically, but when seeds are soaked in water, they warm up and produce carbon dioxide, And then this takes them out of dormancy in a way. So it does kind of wake them up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Usually we'll soak larger seeds like pea seeds. And
peas, beans, corn, even like zucchini or squash if we really need to accelerate the growth. Because
and then one time we grow okra, we soak the okra seeds.
Okra seeds, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Cucumber seeds don't seem necessary to soak.
They're such thin coated. They've got a very thin seed coat. And essentially what you're doing, Holly, is when you soak a seed, you're hydrating it, in layman's terms, and accelerating the germination time frame immensely. Instead of maybe 7 to 14 days, you're knocking that down to 5 to 7 days because it's hydrated. It doesn't have to sit in the soil, absorb moisture, and then do its cycle. Small seeds like lettuce, radishes, carrots, very thin, absolutely a pain if you try to soak them, and they're going to absorb the moisture very quickly, assuming that you keep the soil contact to the seed and you allow the moisture to stay in there, whether you have to apply a mulch or a cardboard over top of it until germination occurs. But the larger seeds, yeah, go ahead and soak them. The problem with larger seeds and soaking larger seeds, Holly, is you want to make sure you know how many seeds you need so you're not soaking two packs of pea seeds and you only use half a pack, and then you got to figure out what to do because once they're soaked, you can't unsoak them. They're
right.
Ready to go.
Right. And that's sometimes hard to plan. But it's not the worst thing to plan. It's just something to keep in mind that, or maybe you soak less than you think you need, and then you some have some that don't soak, and then maybe you can see which ones germinate faster, and then you'll have your own little science experiment.
Right. Yeah. Well, here's one for you, Holly. With your indoor seedlings, do you guys normally feed them with some type of fertilizer before transplanting them?
No, we don't, because we start them in a compost seed starting mix with a slow-release fertilizer. If you do want to do this, you want to get a 1-to-1 NPK, so that way it'll feed them the best. You want to make sure that it is water soluble, and then you want to maybe decide if you want organic or synthetic. That's up to you.
Now, whenever you do, if you choose to fertilize it with a liquid fertilizer, whatever the package says, back that thing off to quarter strength, because you can over fertilize a plant and do it very easily and then cause more problems than if it was over fertilizing. And under fertilizing can almost distribute the same type of characteristics in a plant's display, and then you think, oh, I didn't fertilize enough, and you put more fertilizer on and you actually are killing the plant. Synthetic fertilizers can be the plant can be dependent on it. Organic fertilizer, not the case. So keep that in mind. But most times, if this is more prevalent if you're using the peat pellets, expanding peat pellets. If you're using, like we use, a slow release fertilizer, we've never had a concern with such. I would offer the suggestion that if you feel that you need to fertilize the plant in some form, make some homemade compost tea. No matter what strength you make, the plant, it's going to be fine. The plant's going to absorb what it needs to. You don't have to worry about ratios and synthetic or organic. There's many great informational articles and videos online on how to make homemade compost tea. That's the best thing for your plants and your house plants, for that matter. And if you want to soak your big seeds in that, that's even better to soak your big seeds in it. Well, Holly, that will do it. We are out of time, and we thank you for yours. Miss any portion of the program today or want to revisit it, you can certainly do that by going to our parent website and clicking on the Season 7 tab at the top of the page. Or we can send you the link to this in podcast form, and when you email us at gardentalkradio@gmail.com, and we'll get that taken care of for you. Tune in next week to the program where we'll be discussing don't rush to plant those plants, as well as compost for your garden. Our guest will be houseplant guru Lisa Elder Steinhoff, and we'll answer more of your garden questions. So until next week, for
Holly Baird,
I'm Joy Baird, and we will see you in the garden.